So we'd like to start them young around here, that's for sure. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory. Well, let's pray. Father, I need your touch. I need your anointing this morning, God, to preach your word, to declare your word, to present your word, Lord, in a way, God, that we would be able to receive it, that it would change us, transform our lives, Lord, and bring hope to those that may feel hopeless. Father, I pray the words that come out of my mouth, you would take them, change them, whatever, Lord, and apply them to our lives so that we could be inspired, literally, by your word and challenged by your word. Lord, that we wouldn't be just the church that comes together to hear your word, but Lord, we would become the church that comes together to be activated by your word and to take your word into the streets. And so, Lord, I thank you for it. I pray, God, bless this time. Bless your, put your anointing on your people to receive your word today, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory. I was reading and come across 1 Kings chapter 3. And what this is the story of King David has just died. His son Solomon is about to take the throne, and there's a comparison of the lives of King David and King Solomon as the transition begins to take place. And I found it very interesting, and I want to share this. And I pray that you would get something out of this. But when Solomon ascended the throne, the people of Israel soon learned that he was not another David. King Solomon was not another David. Yes, he was David's son, but their ministries, their rule, their relationship, if you will, with the people was completely, I mean, they're like 180 degrees out from one another. Solomon was a scholar, not a soldier. He was a man more interested in erecting buildings than in fighting battles. David enjoyed the simple life of a shepherd. I'm in 1 Kings chapter 3. We haven't got to the verses yet. I'm just giving you some free stuff here. This is just free stuff. Amen. I'm just giving you background. I'm laying a foundation. Don't get ahead of me. David enjoyed the simple life of a shepherd, but Solomon chose to live in luxury. Both David and Solomon wrote songs, but in reality, Solomon is much better known for the Proverbs that he wrote. David, his father, was a shepherd who loved and served the flock of God. While Solomon became a celebrity and who used the people to help support his extravagant lifestyle. Listen to this. When David died, the people mourned. After Solomon died, the people begged his successor, King Rehoboam, to lighten the heavy yoke that his father had put on their necks. Do you see the contrast in these two kings? Father and son, completely different styles of leadership. David was a warrior. He put his trust in God. Solomon was a politician. He put his trust in authority and in treaties and in achievements. Solomon's name, however, comes from our Hebrew word shalom, which means peace. And during his reign, the kingdom was at peace with its neighbors. David risked his life on the battlefield to defeat every enemy nation that rose up and claim their land for Israel. But Solomon took an entirely different approach. Solomon took a different approach to international diplomacy. He made treaties with other rulers by marrying their daughters. You don't want to come and battle with us because your daughter is my wife. Isn't that an amazing strategy? He made treaties by ruling with other rulers by marrying their daughters, which helps us to understand and explains to us why it was that he had 700 wives who were princesses as well as 300 concubines. And he was a smart guy? We'll get to that in a minute. Can you imagine that? 700 wives, 300 concubines. Woo! And yet he was not a man of war. Wow. 700 wives?
One's enough.
300 concubines? Let's just get to the scripture. 1 Kings chapter 3. Start in verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord. He already had that going for him anyway, right? Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now, the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked yourself for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. Now listen to this. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So, if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, I will lengthen your days. Father, I pray that you bless this message, that your anointing would be upon me as I share it, Lord, that we would take the message out of this place and let it change our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. This is an amazing story when you think about it. It starts out declaring that Solomon loved the Lord, and that, in fact, he walked in the statutes of his father David, except, isn't that amazing? Except, he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. See, Solomon traveled to Gibeon to worship God and to conduct the inaugural ceremony. Solomon has just been, I guess, given like the pledge of oath or whatever. He's been installed, is the word I guess I'm looking for, installed as the king, and he's now in charge of this inaugural ceremony, if you will. So attending this ceremony were the officials of the royal court, the military commanders, the judges and governors of the nation, clan leaders, and no doubt a vast multitude of citizens. Do you remember the offering that Solomon brought? 1,000. I did some research on this. 1,000 burnt offerings, it says, were sacrificed to the Lord, that indicated that this is really a huge and a joyful... Oh, it sounds like a barbecue, what it sounds to me like. Amen? Listen to this. If the 1,000 sacrifices were just bulls, and let's give the bulls a value, a cheap value, okay, of $800. A piece. That's pretty cheap, isn't it, Gary? $800 for a bull? That's pretty cheap. That's real cheap. That's dirt cheap. The cost of just the bulls alone would be $800,000. Which would have suited probably Solomon's royal magnificence. I mean, everything Solomon did was grandiose. Amen? If we're talking about goats or lambs or rams, the cost would be somewhere in the neighborhood of $50,000 for goats and maybe $80,000 for the lambs, or $125,000 for the rams, besides the cost of flour and wine and oil for each of the for the sacrifice. This is an expensive party. This is extravagant. Remember what I said? David enjoyed the simple life of a shepherd. But Solomon chose to live a life of luxury. And it basically came off the backs of the people. God told Solomon in a dream to ask whatever it was that he wanted. And it is plainly implied, the implication is there, it's implied that the request is going to be granted. Those who wish that God would say to them what He said to Solomon, have you ever had that thought? Oh, I wish God would just come to me in a dream and say, whatever it is you want. Think about that. What would you ask for? What would be the number one thing on your list? Because if you're like me, you probably don't just have but one thing on your list. I mean, my mind's clicking right now of the things that go, oh God. Amen? God told him to ask whatever he wanted. Those who wish that God would say to them what he did to Solomon need to realize that he does, and even more than that. And I'm going to show you. I want to look at some unlimited promises of God. How many of you believe that God has some promises for His people? God has some promises for us, folks. And this is by no means an exhaustive list, but it is enough, I feel, this morning to get us to begin to think about some things. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11 says, "Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you? If he asks for bread, you'll give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, you'll give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" What are you asking for? What is your prayer life like? Jesus tells us that we need to persist in pursuing God. Remember the persistent gal that kept going before the Lord, or before the judge, and finally the judge just breaks down and gives her what she wants. Don't give up in your efforts when you're seeking God. People oftentimes give up after a few half-hearted efforts and conclude that God can't be found. Listen, church, if the church needs anything today, the church needs to learn again, fresh and anew, what it means to pray and to seek God and to get on your face before God and begin to just cry out to God and not just say, "Oh God, I need this, I need that, I need something else," and we get up and walk off. I'm telling you, church, we need to get back to the place where we learn and understand how to pray through. How to pray and seek the face of God. Don't just give up after a few half-hearted efforts. For those of us that have loved ones that are dealing with illness, or even terminal kinds of illnesses, do we just quit praying? Well, the doctor said that, you know, it's bad, it's terminal, with this, that, the other thing. Or do we continue to pray? Listen, God raised Lazarus from the dead. God sent His Son. His Son went to funerals, touched coffins, and dead people got up out of the coffin. I mean, He ruined a perfectly good funeral. I got nothing against doctors, but I think God could put them all out of business. Hello? I was reading, of all things, a yearbook, our freshman yearbook. And in that, somehow, my dad, I had a letter from 1971 that my dad had written to my mom, and my mom was in England visiting her family. And I found this letter, and I began reading it, and there's a place in it where apparently I was sick. And my dad wrote to my mother, "Don't worry about Shane. Sandy, who is my sister, Sandy and I have been doctoring him. He hasn't been liking it, but he's getting well." Now listen. When my dad began to doctor you, you'd just soon be dead. Because my dad ain't taking you to the doctor unless you're knocking on death's door or bleeding to death. My dad would take stuff like methylate and mercurochrome and turpentine and those kinds of things, and Vicks vapor rub, and melt that all down and melt it together and blend it all up and put it in an atomizer. Do we even know what an atomizer is anymore? People, do we know the little spray bottle, the little thing with a bubble on the end of it? And he'd put that concoction in that atomizer bottle, and he would say, "Now open your mouth." "Stick out your tongue." "I ain't doing it. I am not doing it." And he'd pry your mouth open and he'd stick that thing in there and he'd go and paint the back of your throat with that nasty mess. It's a wonder I'm still here. Have you ever read them bottles? "Not for human consumption. Don't drink this stuff. Open your mouth." He would take a 3-pound Folgers coffee can and he'd put turpentine in that. And he'd put lard, old-fashioned lard, he'd put that in there. And he'd put Vicks vapor rub in there. And he would melt that all together on the old wood cook stove. And he'd go and get a wool sock. I'm allergic to wool. You think he cared? Not one bit. Judy, I ain't lying, am I? She was our next door neighbor. And he would take that old sock and he would dip it in that concoction. And then he would take the Vicks and he would rub it all up under your chin and your ears and, pack your nose with that. I'm not kidding you, folks. He'd rub it under your armpits because it'll get into you. It'll help. And then he'd take that sock and he'd split that sock lengthwise and he would dip it in that stuff and saturate that wool sock and he would put it around your neck and let it just hang down over your chest. Hot. It's hot. This stuff's melting. It's hot. Then you got to sit under the kitchen table with the can of that stuff and with tablecloth or whatever over it so that all them vapors, you got to breathe all that stuff. We would choke to death to hold a cough back. You okay? You ain't going to the doctor. Oh, Lord. I'm telling you, people, we need to learn how to pray and trust God. I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But shouldn't we give Him a chance? The Bible says that by His stripes, we are healed. But knowing God takes faith. Trusting in God takes faith. It takes faith, focus, and follow through. Faith, focus, and follow through. And Jesus assures us that we will in fact be rewarded. But we cannot give up in our efforts to seek God. Well, you know, the doctor says you're bad. It's bad. Well, I understand that. They've been trained and they've got all that education, but I got to remember what the report of the Bible says. What's God's report? God's report says, I'm healed and set free and I'm delivered. That's what God's Word says. And so we have to stand on that. We need to continue asking Him for more knowledge, patience, and wisdom, and love, and understanding. And He'll give that stuff to us, folks. Remember what James chapter 1 and verse 5 says? If any man, and it's not a gender-specific term when He says any man. He's talking about mankind. He's talking about men and women. If any man lacks what? Wisdom. Do what? Ask. And when we ask, we need to prepare ourselves to receive.
Amen.
Don't give up. Look at Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Is that your level of faith, folks? That nothing will be impossible? Jesus isn't condemning the disciples for substandard faith here, nor is He condemning you and I. But what He's trying to do is He's trying to show us how important faith would be in their future ministry and our future lives. Listen, the Bible says in Hebrews that without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
We've got to live by faith. Doesn't the Bible say the just live by faith and not by sight? If you're facing a problem and it seems too big, or it seems like maybe it's an immovable mountain, we need to turn our eyes from the mountain and look to Christ for more faith. I could make the comparison, I think, pretty easily about Jesus when He walked on the water and Peter come out of the boat. When did Peter sink? What?
So when He took His eyes off.
Off what?
Jesus.
Yeah. And put them on what?
The water.
That's what I'm saying here. We have to keep our eyes off the mountain and on the mountain mover. It's then you and I will be able to overcome the obstacles that stand in our way. Matthew chapter 21, verses 21 and 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you'll not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also, if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, that will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. I think we do a pretty good job of asking, but how are we doing at believing? Because the very definition of faith, now faith is the substance. This bottle has substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The what? The evidence of things that are not seen. So this verse isn't a guarantee that we can get anything we want simply by asking Jesus and by believing. God doesn't grant requests that would hurt us or others, that would violate His own nature. Have anybody besides the pastor prayed those kind of stupid prayers? You know the ones I'm talking about. You're doing 90 miles an hour down the freeway and the lights come on behind you. Oh God, Lord, don't let me get a ticket. Hello. You know? God does not grant requests that would hurt us or that would violate His own nature or His will. Jesus' statement here is not a blank check. To be fulfilled, our requests must be in harmony with the principles of God's kingdom. How do your prayers and my prayers, how do they stack up? How do they line up with the will of God? Are we praying for God's will to be done? So it could be said then that the stronger our belief, the more likely our prayers will be in line with the will of God. And then God's more than happy to grant those. Look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Verse 23. Jesus said to him, there's that word. I preached a message one time. Maybe I should get it out and dust it off. I preached a message on the if factor. The if factor. And here it is again. If you can believe, comma, all things are possible to him that believes. Sharon, are you okay, girl? I can tell. Thank you, Lord. She's got some right there. Lord, take that tickle out of her throat right now. Amen. Amen. So again, Jesus' words don't mean that we can just automatically obtain whatever we want just by thinking positive. I remember years ago there was a movement that the positive thinking. If you just think things enough, if you just think hard enough about it, if you just can, then those things are gonna, no. I don't believe that. It's not a blank check. We don't automatically obtain the things just because we're thinking positively. The power of positive thinking. Jesus means here that anything is possible if we believe, because nothing is too difficult for God. It's not about us, it's about God. Amen? We can't have anything we pray for as if by some act of magic, but with faith we can have everything we need to serve Him. See, that's where we get in trouble, folks. When we pray, oftentimes we're praying for our needs or for what we want or what we think we need. But when we begin to pray for our needs to be met to serve Him, that's why I don't have a problem praying that God would provide for this building out here. It's not about me, it's about His ministry that He wants to do here in our area. And beyond. But He will provide everything we need to serve Him. If you want to start seeing prayers answered, start praying about things that we can do through, that God can do through you in relation to this ministry. God will begin to do things that will blow your mind. Look at Mark chapter 11. Verses 22 through 24. So Jesus answered and said to them. He's saying to us as well. Have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes these things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. The kind of prayer that moves mountains is prayer for the fruitfulness of God's kingdom. I can begin to talk about mountains that I feel like that we as a congregation have overcome in the fact that we're in this place right here. That we have this property right here. That we're going to build a building. I think those are mountains that we are overcoming right now. God's the one that's making the way. God's the one that's doing it. Our architect called me this week and we talked about where we're at in the whole process of things and he began to ask about the floodplain. Because the elevation, because it's not residential, it's more commercial, that elevation can change. And it can end up, he said that it could end up costing us less money.
Amen.
Woo! We didn't see that coming. Right? But we'll take it. How come? Because God's doing this. God is doing, I believe God's doing a fantastic thing here. It would seem impossible to move a mountain into the sea, so Jesus used that as an illustration to show that God can do the impossible. Think about Mary and Martha when they sent the request that Jesus needed to come because their brother, his dear friend, was sick. What did they want?
Healing.
Pardon me? What did you say?
Healing.
Yeah? What did they want? I know they wanted healing. They wanted Jesus. What? They wanted him now. I don't give a care where you're at or what you're doing, Jesus. Drop it all and get here right now. And Jesus said what? Four days. Think about it. 4 days before he shows up. And when he shows up, he says, well, where is he? Well, he's in the grave. Well, let's go in there. Oh, no. He's been in there 4 days. He stinketh. They did not have him in a refrigerated unit. It gets hot over there. The processes begin to work rather quickly. No, Jesus, he stinketh. Probably. And Jesus stands at the door and says, Lazarus, come out. Here he comes. I love that. I love that part. Because when Lazarus came out, he came out the way he went in, wrapped up in burial clothes, in grave clothes. He was wound up tight. That's the only way he could come out. He was tied up. And what did Jesus say? Loose him and let him go. Why did all that happen? Jesus said that my Father would be glorified.
Amen.
That's why Jesus had that level of authority. That's why Jesus had those prayers were readily answered because everything that he did for the Father's glory. Think about your prayer life. Think about those things that you pray for. God will answer our prayers, but not as a result of our positive mental attitude. There's other conditions. There are other conditions that need to be met. Number one, it would be a good idea if you're a believer. Amen? If you want your prayers met, you must be a believer. The only prayer that I believe God answers of the non-believer is a prayer for salvation. At which point, hello, you're no longer a non-believer.
Amen.
He's more than happy to answer that prayer. Number two, you must not hold a grudge against another person. Now listen, if you're not getting your prayers answered, you might need to consider some of this. Preach on, brother. Glory. You must be a believer and you must not hold a grudge against another person. Do you know that you can hold up another person by your attitude toward them? You can. Your attitude, your forgiveness releases people. Number three. I should just skip it.
No.
Y'all ain't gonna like it, I'll tell you that right now. Because I don't like it. But I put it down anyway. Because it ain't about what I like. Number one, let's just go back over these. You must be a believer. You must not hold a grudge against another person. Number three. Number four. Number three. You must not pray with selfish motives. Boy, have I ever prayed with selfish motives. I have certainly done that. But we can't, if we want our prayers to be answered by God, we cannot pray with selfish motives. Number four, our request must be for the good of God's kingdom. To pray effectively, we need faith in God, not faith in the object of our request. Well, if I just had this, boy, I'll tell you, I could do so many things for the Lord. Anybody ever prayed that way? Only to get it? God, if you just would give me a nice boat. I had a bass boat when we lived in St. George. I thought about naming it Visitation. So that if somebody called the church wondering where the pastor was, the secretary could say, well, he's on visitation. I didn't do it, but I had that thought. He's out on visitation. That would be bad. I'll do the preaching, okay, Ron? Oh boy, we have to have faith in God. It's not an option. If we focus only on the request, we will be left with nothing. With nothing if our request is refused. Does that make sense? If we focus only on the request, we will be left with nothing if the request is refused. What if God doesn't answer your prayer? Now what are you going to do? Look at John chapter 15, verse 7. I love the 15th chapter of John. I get so much hope from this chapter. John 15 and 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. What that implies, church, is that if we are attached to the vine, the life of the vine is flowing into us, the branch. And because the life of the vine flows into the branch produces what kind of fruit? Fruit from the root. Right? And the root is found in God. So in this passage, and in chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, asking God is connected with fruit bearing and doing greater things for God. So when a believer remains in Christ and the Word of Christ remains in him, that person's prayers are going to be answered. Look at John chapter 15 and verse 16. I told you he was going to have lots of scripture. I love this. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. People get nervous when you start appointing them. Amen?
Amen.
Why do most people get nervous when they're appointed? Because most of the time, when we are appointed for this or that or the other thing, the first thought that we have, typically, is I'm not qualified for that appointment. I don't have the qualifications to carry that out. Let me tell you something. God does not call the qualified.
No, He doesn't.
He qualifies the called. That's the only reason, honestly, that I'm even in this place. I've shared my educational background before. I'm not going to go into that mess this morning. Because I can stand here this morning and say, even though I don't have a high school education, if you will, diploma, I do have a college education. I did get some schooling. And besides all that, God has gifted me or given me or what blessed me, however you want to look at it, with at least some scriptural knowledge. With at least some abilities. I mean, I can't imagine, if Coach Manley would have asked us to, or asked me to write something of this nature in English class. I'd have just gone home. You're right. I'd have just, that ain't gonna happen. But yet, here we are, and I'm doing it. I don't know how I do it. Other than just God does it. See, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask in the name of ask the Father in my name, He may give you. See, Jesus chose these disciples and He appointed them to spread the gospel and to produce fruit for God's kingdom. Isn't that great? How many of you think that's great? Let me see your hands if you think that's great.
Yeah.
Let me look over here. Do we still think it's great over here? I set you up. I set you up big time. Because you're these disciples also. All of us are, or at least need to be, disciples. And so if that's the case, you and I have been appointed. Let me prove it to you, okay? Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Go into all the world. These are some of Jesus' final words that He spoke to who? The disciples. Which means He was speaking to us. Go into all the world and what? Make disciples. And baptize them. You were just a little ahead of me, Sharon. That's all right. And baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son. And the Holy Spirit. That's His commission to us. We have been appointed to spread the gospel. What is gospel?
God's word.
The good news. It's good news. Listen, I hate to give bad news. In fact, we don't even watch the news anymore because I just get so upset. I just want to punch the TV out. But good news? Man, I love good news. Don't you love good news, Mike? We love to share good news, don't we? Something great happened. That's good news. Oh, man. Let me call Jay and tell Jay what... I mean, that's good news. We love to... The gospel is good news. The gospel's good news, folks. We ought to not have a problem sharing it. It's the best news. You are spot on. Uh-oh, Superman must have got some kryptonite. The Lord chooses every believer to be a branch in the vine, a branch that bears fruit and will last. The remaining or the lasting fruit means either new believers whose fruit, or faith rather, perseveres, or the enduring quality of the fruit of the Spirit, especially brotherly love. Which is one of the things that I think is fantastic about this congregation. It sometimes is a little difficult because when we cut, what in the world? Bring me that. No, I don't. I do, but I don't. You know what I'm saying? You picking up what I'm putting down? No. Oh my. Fruit that will last. We have family time. I love family time. But in regards to the clock, you people just don't pay attention. Fred puts a timer on three screens. So no matter which direction you're looking, you know that you're running out of time. Does it affect you? Not in the least. You people run around hugging everybody and talking like it's old home week. Which talks pretty loudly, in my opinion, about brotherly love. We like one another. We love one another. That is fantastic news from my opinion. Jesus speaks of making requests to the Father. He says that the Father will give you whatever you ask when you ask in my name. Isn't that amazing? Amen. In verses 7 and 8, Jesus linked the request making with the fruit bearing. Jesus links requesting with bearing. Our prayers ought to be geared toward God. Here's a challenge. Let me challenge you like this today. Begin this week. Tomorrow morning when you get up, how many of you know that the mercies of God are new every morning? God, I'm so thankful that you've given me new mercy upon me today. Lord, would you use me today? Not Thursday. Today. God, would you use me today to spread the gospel, to share the good news with somebody today? I'll bet you this. I'll bet God will bring somebody across your path that you can minister to if you'll just look. And don't just ask once. Continue asking Him to bring somebody. The Father would answer our requests in order to help us accomplish the mission that He has given us. And that mission is to produce fruit that will last.
Amen.
There's a lot of promises in the New Testament that amount to far more than Solomon was promised. In the New Testament, it's replete with information, with promises that God has given us. Solomon asked God to give him an understanding heart. God, give me an understanding heart, because no matter how smart the mind may be, if the heart is wrong, all of life will be wrong. You ever been around somebody that just had a bitter heart? Boy, it is tough to be around them. But the Bible says that God can take that stony heart and put a heart of flesh, a new heart. Listen, in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life." See, the word translates into understanding, and it means hearing. Solomon wanted a hearing heart. Do you listen with your ears or with your heart?
Yeah.
That's an important question. Do I listen? Frankly, it's probably one of my bigger problems is that I listen with my ears too often than with my heart. And here's what I find in my own life. I'm leaving everybody else alone. I'm talking about me. If it fits you, that's on you. But when I'm listening with my ears, as I'm listening, I'm formulating my response. I'm either figuring out something of an excuse, or I'm figuring out how I can fix this, or I'm figuring out how I'm going to respond to whatever it was. Am I close? Yeah. But when you listen with your heart, you're more concerned about listening to what the other person is saying. You understand what I'm saying? How can I respond in kind to what this situation is? See what I'm saying? Solomon wanted a hearing heart. So true understanding then comes from hearing what God has to say. And to the Old Testament Jew, hearing, boy, this is going to get good right here. Woo-hoo! To the Old Testament Jew, hearing meant obeying. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Hearing men obeying. So when the Lord then speaks to us, it's not that we might study and pass judgment on what He said. Anybody want to finish it? You know what I'm going to say. What do you think, Glenda? Which implies the answer. She said, "I hate to obey." But she tries. True understanding comes from hearing. Not that we can study and pass judgment on what we're being told, what He's saying in His Word, but rather that we would obey what He is saying. God's given His Word for us to read and to obey and to follow, not to read and decide what we want and what we don't want. An understanding heart has insight and exercises discernment. It's able to distinguish the things that differ. It knows what is real and what is artificial, what is temporal and what is eternal. God was pleased with the request that Solomon spoke for wisdom, because it showed that the king was concerned with serving God and His people by knowing and doing God's will. Listen, Solomon never read Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, which says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added." Solomon never read that, but he practiced it. He practiced it before it was penned, folks. The Lord gave him the additional blessings that he never even asked for. Can I just tell you, as we begin to follow the Lord and get our prayers in right alignment with what the Lord wants for us to do in relationship to not only your life, but the ministry that God has given you. God has given you a ministry, folks. This work?
Hello?
Is this working? Every one of you, God has given a ministry. Every one of you, God has equipped. Every one of you, God has appointed for you to be in this day and age. I've said it 100 times, man. If I'd have got to pick, I'd have been in the Wild West, man. I guarantee it. But I wasn't. God has appointed me for now. For such a time as this. Think about that. The God of creation chose you to live today. You know why? Because He's got a purpose and a plan for your life. You're not here by accident. You are not here by accident. God always gives His best to those who leave the choice with Him. Think about that. God always gives His best to those who leave the choice to Him. Solomon answered God with... God said, what would you have? And Solomon's in wisdom, he said, I want to be a smart guy. I want to have a heart that hears God. A heart for God's people. A heart like my father had. A heart that's after God's own heart. I want to have understanding to be able to lead your people. And because of that, God granted him things that he never even asked for. Now, if you read the rest of the story about Solomon, remember he said, if. Remember God said, if. To Solomon, if you do these things, if you uphold my statutes, if you walk in my statutes, if you do the things that I've called you to do, you will have long life. Solomon didn't do that. Solomon didn't do that. Solomon let the world sneak in. And it hindered what God had for him. Today the Lord's speaking to some of you about your life. God, I believe God is speaking to every one of us about our prayer life. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. People praying in this place today. The only reason that this church even exists is that souls would hear the gospel message of redemption. That people would be given an opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, to become a disciple, to be taught and instructed in God's Word and discipled. That's our only reason for existence, folks. God's asking us this morning, how are you praying? What are the things that you're praying about? Is your heart after the things of the world, basically? Or do you have a heart towards God that's saying, God, here I am. I might not be the best equipped model in the place. But God, you can fix me up. You can You can download into me. You can help me to be all that you have called me to be. You begin to pray that prayer, I promise you, God's going to begin to show up in your life. God's not stingy, folks. He just has a plan, and He's going to stick to the plan. And He's waiting for us to line up with His plan. Remember, Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I hear from my Father. And that's what I do. I know one thing for sure, folks. The Bible says this, that God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Is He talking to you this morning? God's asking today, do you love me? Are you going to make heaven your home? You don't know? I can tell you how you can know. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, my Bible says you shall be saved. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord, but today I want to. Today's my day. Today I'm asking you to come into my heart. Change my life. If that's you, slip your hand up. I want to pray with you today. Anybody at all say, preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. I need to be born again. I need to know that my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Anybody at all, preacher, that's me. Maybe you're watching by way of the internet this morning and you're raising your hand sitting there in your house, but I can't see that. If you'll make a notation there on the screen, we have people that'll pray with you. They'll communicate with you. It's as simple as saying, Lord, forgive me. Create in me a right spirit. Help me to be born again. Forgive me of all of my sin. And write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's as simple as it is. God said, I'll do it. Folks, days are drawing short. One of these days, that eastern sky is going to split. The trumpet's going to blow. The Lord's going to step out on a cloud. The dead in Christ are going to rise and meet Him in the air. Those of us that remain, that have called on the name of Jesus, will rise up and be with Him in the air. He'll take us to heaven. The only way that you can be assured of that happening is if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord. Don't put it off. I don't know why I stuck on this so hard this morning, but don't put it off. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Don't put it off. Don't postpone it. There's not a better day than today to say, Jesus, I need a Savior. Save my life. Father, I love you. I've said what you've asked me to say today. God, I pray for those that may be fighting this balance. They're trying to make that decision. God, I pray that you would just well up within them, that you would quicken them, Lord, that they would know that you're talking to them by your Spirit. You're saying, today's the day, do it now. Help them to know that it's not a scary thing, it's a fantastic thing. Lord, I just pray right now, God, for, again, continued healing. In fact, Lord, I thank you right now that you're healing people, that you're raising them up. That, God, you're equipping them, that you're restoring damaged cells and weakened blood cells, that you're vitalizing them, Lord, that they can go through the system of the body and fight disease and fight viruses and fight all these things, God, that your people would be made whole, that they would rise up and give testimony of the goodness of God. Lord, I thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here. God go with you. We'll see you back here tonight at 6:00. Have a great rest of your day.